Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship and just make sense out of everything. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be with you today.
On today's episode, we talk about making tough decisions. We examine Romans chapter 7, and we learn a thing or two about Johann Sebastian Bach. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 2. Ted, tell me about the concert you got coming up.
So I'm doing a library concert March 21st at 12 noon, the Zephyr Hills Library downtown.
All right, and so by the time this comes out, that will have already happened, so I'm sure it went great. Good job.
It was a good job.
It was a success.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. They can hold about 30 people, so hopefully there was a great crowd.
So you're doing classical guitar, right?
Classical guitar, featuring several works by Johann Sebastian Bach in honor of his birthday. He was one of the most prolific composers of our time, I think, in the world.
Oh, yeah? Do you know, like, around what time he was composing?
In the 1700s.
Okay.
But nobody knew of him until the classical pianist Liszt found his manuscripts, and that's when Bach really became known.
So nobody knew his music during his lifetime?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. And now he's
those in the royal courts whom he served and those in the chorales that he wrote for, the people, the churches that he was involved in and so forth.
Okay, so he was writing for royalty and stuff, so they heard his music.
They heard his music.
The commoners didn't.
Yeah, but the world didn't really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a pianist discovered him. And now, he's one of the top five. I mean, everybody knows.
Yeah,
they know Beethoven, they know Bach. They might know a couple others, but he's right up there.
He's right up there, yeah.
What do you think is special about his music? Like, why is it endured?
I think his treatment of the counterpoint, and then also around, like row, row, row your boat, and then someone else comes in and sings, someone else comes in.
Yeah.
He demonstrated that in a way that was unique, not just imitating the same melody line, but he also did a counter melody, and it was like in his fugues and his preludes and so forth, and was able to write in such a way that was, you didn't know what was coming next kind of thing. So he kept the listener glued into his musical. He surprised you.
It sounds kind of like progressive music today. So progressive music would be like, it doesn't just revert to a chorus. It's like constantly building on itself and progressing into something new. So
I know many rock guitar players or jazz fusion guitar players who take Bach's music and they practice it on electric guitar at really fast, and maybe they'll add distortion or whatever to make it really sound cool. And they make it part of their arsenal for their guitar licks.
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind
of cool. I've heard that Bach in general has inspired a lot of what our taste in music is. So just, even just pop music, and what we have come to expect as normal or popular, that actually a lot of it goes back to Bach, that he's influenced a lot of that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about him in his manuscripts, he would always put underneath, if I remember my history right, to the glory of God. Mm. He always wrote to the glory of God. He always had that outlook, I'm writing this for the glory of God.
That's really cool. And so you'll be doing a couple numbers on the classical guitar.
So we'll do a few of those numbers and then some other composers as well.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
It will be fun, and it was fun, and it went well.
It went well. Yeah, it was good. So thank you, everyone who came out.
Awesome. Get into the topic for today.
So as we are thinking about discipleship, one of the things, Christian, in my life that I always was encouraged by, found fascinating, but also a struggle, and I resonated with the Apostle Paul in Romans when he would say, I don't understand why I act the way I do. I don't do the good that I want to do. I do the evil that I hate. In Romans 7:15, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. There's that struggle. And as a believer, we're often challenged with that. How do I make good choices each and every day, or a better choice that pleases the Lord and that glorifies Christ in my faith walk with Him? How do you make good choices? Or was there a time when you struggled, when you had to make a choice?
Yeah. Yeah, when I think about choices, I think I really resonate with Paul when I think about those everyday struggles, you know, the struggle to make a good choice daily. I think of it especially in the realm of health. I know what's healthy to eat.
Yes.
But then I don't always do that. You know, like I know I probably shouldn't reach for that cookie, but then I still do. Or I know I should get up and exercise, but then I don't. So I feel that when I hear those words from Paul, I'm like, I know what's good for my body to do, and yet I don't do it. Paul might be talking more severely about right from wrong, but I think we can sense that in our bodies even, you know, when we think about it in terms of health, how hard it is to make a good decision, even something simple, you know, how hard that is for us to change.
I think that's true. Yeah. It's like, oh, it won't hurt me this time to eat the second piece of chocolate cake or the third piece of chocolate cake with the ice cream, but after a while, it'll build up and it catches you.
Right. And you get into habits, yeah. You know. I think when I'm thinking about making good choices, small choices, like on a daily basis, a lot of it has to do with the habits that you're in and what's available to you. If there's no cookies in my house, I don't know, maybe I'll just drink some water, you know?
I know.
And this relates, I think, to Paul. To make a good choice, I think I need to be in a good environment. So if I don't want to reach for a cookie, maybe I don't have cookies in the house. And the same thing goes for like forming healthy habits. Like if I'm on a roll exercising, it's a lot easier for me to keep going. Mm. You know, it's a lot easier for me to take that walk every day if I'm in the habit of doing it. It takes some effort to build up that habit, but then once it's a habit, it's in motion and it's a lot easier to do the right thing.
I think, you know, when I think about that verse, I remember in my college years, I'm a Florida boy, but I was exposed to snow. I had never seen snow before age of 18. And so how do you drive in snow? How do you maneuver in snow, you know? Well, I'm a Florida boy. I can drive in snow. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember one time a friend of mine needed a ride to work, and nobody else would take her because it was snowing really hard. The roads were icy, terrible. No one should be driving. But being a Florida boy, oh, I could do that. And
right.
And on my Toyota, I had a recap snow tire, so I didn't even have the real deal. You know, but I can do that. Oh, no problem. So I take off and I'm taking her to work and we go up this hill and my little Yoda, man, it couldn't make it. And it started sliding back down because of the ice.
Oh, wow.
And we did a total 180.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have to go in reverse at all because the car turned around because it was so slippery and I ended up going back down the hill.
Oh, my gosh.
And I told my friend, I said, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to call and miss work.
You're not getting to work.
I'm not doing that. My choice was, oh, yeah, I could do that, no problem. And the reality was, no, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, it was very fortunate that we didn't wreck or anything like that.
Mm.
And so sometimes the struggle is in making that choice right in that moment, the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
And even in our spiritual faith walk, we find sometimes that we struggle in that choice. And that's why, for me, Philippians 4:8 is really good. Whatsoever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. Mm-hmm. Because the battle is in our mind. What am I thinking of? Am I making a good choice? And so forth.
So that's almost a rubric for how to look at those choices in that immediate moment, too. Like if something comes to your mind, should I do this? Should I not? You have that little checklist.
I had that little check.
That's like,
I said,
you know what?
That's not right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I listen to the Holy Spirit tell me that checklist sometimes. Oh, I messed up, you know, but God is gracious. He forgives.
I think when the nation of Israel was wandering in the desert, they really get a bad rap for that because they sound like they're just complaining all the time. You and I probably would have been complaining too. It sounds like it was pretty rough.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I think there's several moments in their history where they make a poor choice. Where Moses goes up on the mountain and he's been gone and they're like, okay, we got to do something new. And then they convince Aaron to make a golden calf, moving completely away from what God desired them to do. But they felt abandoned, you know, and they felt like, look, Moses is left, God is left, we're on our own, we got to do this. And so they push Aaron to create an idol. They, you know, later in their history, when they ask for a king And Samuel's like, you probably shouldn't do that. But they're like, they're sort of taking it into their own hands.
Yeah.
Again, feeling, hey, God's not doing his part or not taking care of it. And so they're pushed to move in the other direction. Or the other moment, the same people, but they, you know, Moses invites them up on the mountain to meet with God. And the elders, they're like, you know what? You go meet with God and we'll just meet with you. They choose to keep their distance from God when God does invite them close.
Right.
And in each of those situations, I think you see, these are examples of, in hindsight, we can say poor choices. But what motivated that? You know, in those moments, there was fear, there was a sense of abandonment, and we have to do this on our own. Well, sometimes that same let's go for it mentality can be a positive thing. But yeah, I definitely see in Israel's history, they struggled to make a good choice in the wilderness and in those moments.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Yeah, I was thinking King Saul was waiting for Samuel to come and do a sacrifice before they had to go off to battle. And Samuel wasn't right there, and Saul became impatient, and he did the sacrifice himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He usurped the authority. And the cost of that bad choice in that moment was basically Saul's rule was removed from him, taken away from him.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, we get impatient. We don't wait to hear from God, and we hurry ahead of God. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we hear God, and we don't act accordingly. So
there's a tension between patience and action. Sometimes we need to wait, and sometimes we need to move. And it really just depends on what God's inviting us to do. We got to be attentive to that.
We got to be in tune with him in that moment to know this is of the Lord. And so the question would be, well, how do we know? How do we know?
Yeah. So let's respond to some scripture. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So that's Romans 7:14-25 in the New Living Translation. What jumps out at you, Ted, in that passage?
Verse 14, the trouble is with me, for I'm all too human and a slave to sin. And so my thought was, yeah, we are human. We're, you know, failures, we're flops, whatever. But then immediately, you know, Jesus created us. He made us in his image and likeness, and he died for us.
Yeah.
All too human. He died for us. And Jesus did that, we know from Scripture, to set us free, to rescue us so that we're no longer a slave to sin. We become slaves to righteousness, a servant of righteousness instead of a servant to sin.
Yeah, I feel like that's really his point in this passage, is that sometimes it feels like we can't make good choices. I want to do good and I don't. You know, sometimes it feels like we can't make good choices, but it's all pointing to verse 24, 25, that Jesus rescues us.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thank
verse 25,
God.
The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
That's who will free us from these lives dominated by sin and death. I think his main point is that he's wrestling with the fact that he can't make a good choice and that we're rescued. You know, it's not just the, wow, we're so miserable. It's how great it is. If this is where we were, how great it is that Jesus has rescued us.
Yeah. And when God speaks to us and gives us clarity in our thinking and we follow his steps and are obedient, make the right choice, right decision, we glorify God, there's freedom there. There is just, you know, the Father's pleased with us. He's not going to, and on the other side of it, you know, God's not in heaven as the mean dictator that if we make a wrong step, he's going to wipe us out with a bolt of lightning. That's not God's nature at all. God is redemptive. You know, I was thinking there was a comedian many, many years ago on television named Flip Wilson, and he would always be known as, well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. That's what he would say.
Yeah.
You know, here Paul says in verse 20, if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. In other words, there is a desire that each of us have in our inner being that causes us not to walk the way God wants us, not to make choices the way God wants us to make, not to follow God. Mm-hmm. We want to please ourselves. And so that's the real disease. But God gave us the cure. And that cure is Jesus Christ. He makes us whole. And so sin is rendered powerless.
And elsewhere, Paul will go on to talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, and walking according to the Spirit, living according to the Spirit. And so it's the opposite of living according to the flesh. And I don't like when we use this passage, especially, as an excuse not to do better. Like, well, I can't.
Yeah, that's
I'm
that's
full
good
of sin.
Point. Yeah.
I'm just full of sin. There's nothing I can do. It's not my fault.
Right.
I don't think we should just blame it on our nature.
Right.
I think that's not Paul's intention. I think he's talking about that nature. He's recognizing it on a intellectual level, on a spiritual level. He's saying, look, there's this thing that's at war within me.
Yes.
And Jesus is the cure. Like you said, Jesus has set us free. Jesus is the cure for this thing at war within me. But, you know, Jesus showed us a way to walk, and it's according to the Spirit.
That's right.
And so this passage is really relatable when I think about sinning, you know, when I think about reaching for that cookie or whatever. This passage is relatable. But also, I feel like, I don't want to use it as an excuse.
Right. And I've had individuals who said to me, well, it's just the way I am. God understands. He wired me that way. Well, Christ, I believe, he gives us his power, his strength, his ability, his wisdom. So the next time we are tempted to sin, we don't have to because we've been set free from sin and we're relying on Christ's strength and we're relying on his ability. And there's real freedom there. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can all shout in verse 25, thank God, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So what are some takeaways or some insights that can help us, Christian, make good choices?
Sometimes I feel throughout the course of my relationship with God, I've heard very clear direction when I've prayed and asked, especially in big moments, big decisions. There's other times where I've felt a sense of pause, like just wait, you know, wait on me. Not a yes or a no, but just wait. And in those seasons, I stay where I'm at and continue to pray and seek him. If there's a clear yes or no, that's, you know, obey. Sometimes it's wait. And then there's other times where I've laid something before him and really get a sense that, you know, wherever you go, I'll bless you. You can stay and I'll bless you. You can go into this other thing, I'll go with you. So then you have I have a sense of peace to really follow my heart and follow what, you know, we decide as a family is right. You know, wherever you're going to go, I'll bless you. That's been my experience. When I was in college, I wanted to propose to this girl that I was dating, and we ended up getting married, so it worked out.
Yay!
We were both serving overseas at the time, and I felt like, man, I want to ask her, but I didn't have a ring yet. I hadn't talked to her parents, I hadn't anything like that. And the church where we were serving had 3 days of fasting and prayer, and it was legit fasting. You know, you didn't eat, and on the mealtimes, you came to church and prayed. And so we were at the church 3 times a day praying. and not eating. And then the last night, it was like a 6 hour. We started at 6 p.m. and then we went till midnight. And I had been, you know, praying for the requests of the church and the ministries and stuff. But I also had this request on my heart, you know, Lord, should I do this? Should I make this decision? Should I propose? And by the end, man, I really didn't feel like I had had much of an answer, you know, and I prayed for those 6 hours, not just about that, you know, about other stuff too. It's a long time to pray for 6 hours. And then I was reaching the end of the night and I really didn't feel like I had an answer. And this guy came over to me. He did not speak English at all. And he goes, you can understand me when I speak Spanish, right? And I was like, oh, I mean, I can understand some. And he felt really distraught. He's like, man, I really feel like God has a word for you. Okay, I'm just going to do it in Spanish and we'll just trust that you can understand. And I really did. I understood everything that he was saying really clearly. I think the Lord probably helped me. My Spanish was better at that time, but still not that good. And he basically said, hey, this thing you've been praying for, he's like, I don't personally know what it is, but the Lord just told me to tell you, this thing that you have on your heart to do, it's good and it's the right thing to do. You just need to wait. And man, I felt like it was amazing. You know, up to that point, I didn't hear yes, no, I think I'm just going to do what my heart says. I think I'm going to ask her. And he said, yeah, he just said, it's so clearly God spoke to me, you should do this, but just wait. And it was wise counsel. You know, I waited till I got back to the States and I talked to her parents and I talked to my parents. I had a ring, you know, those kind of things.
That's important.
But I had this confirmation from the Lord.
Sure.
And when you think about making a decision, making a choice, I feel like that was so crucial to our relationship, because if things became challenging or difficult, I never had the thought, hey, we made a mistake.
Right.
Hey, we shouldn't have got married.
Right.
Because I so clearly heard from the Lord, you know.
You were seeking the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
And you were asking him, and then you were in fellowship with him, so you knew he was speaking to you. And
yes.
Another brother in Christ came and confirmed that.
Yep.
And that gave you peace, and you obeyed that.
Exactly.
Direction.
And so now, this year will be 20 years we've been married.
Yay.
It's like, whether we had ups and downs or not, I was always confident in that choice.
Yes.
And so when I'm thinking about making decisions, there's one thing to make a decision in a moment, you know, but when you're making a big decision, how do we know that this is what God's leading us to do or not?
Right.
And man, it's fellowship with him and,
yes.
and asking him, you know.
Yes.
I didn't just ask him a little bit.
Yes.
We fasted for 3 days.
Yeah, that's big time. No cookies.
No cookies.
No cookies. We're there. No cookies. So when you're going to make a good choice, remember, no cookies. Yeah. So, you know, when Paul is struggling there, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. In that process, we can learn to wait and listen and respond, because God is in the business of refining us and changing us.
Yeah. In the daily moments, when I really need God to show up, I think God meets me in those moments if I just look up and notice him, you know?
Yes.
I think he's right there, always willing to enable us to make the right choice.
Yes, I like that. Mm. In the daily grind of life, I'm keenly aware. I make it an intention to be aware that God is with me, that he never leaves us. He's always with us. But to press into his presence in the moment, and that he will guide and direct our steps as we trust him and follow him in the daily decisions. He's like that sculptor who's carving the marble and making a beautiful piece of art. Mm. And he's doing that with us, with each of our lives. He's carving away the stuff that's not good, and he's replacing it with his handiwork and his beauty so we can reflect his character. And that's just wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.